until the authorities find out about some other connection.
We're trying to raise fund a daughter.
Well, I think that there should be, if we're going to have this, we should have a combination. Not only within 3 months of the time, someone especially interested in the victim learns of this, in case of incompetency or so on, but also provide for a time, add within 3 months or whatever the time is, after this comes to the attention of those who have a duty to enforce the law, whether it's the district attorney or police or anyone else.
Well, and that wouldn't come to that wouldn't accomplish anything then, because somebody goes 2 years and 9 months later and complains to the district attorney. You see, the parent, I mean, if you extended that period or the for the girl or the parent up to the time she tells, instead of 3 months, would you said it any time up to the time she tells
you would.
I'd like to ask,
yeah, you would be extended here.
What they think, the case that you, it's a year old, so how much chance have you got to get the conviction in a case like that? Maybe almost.
You aren't going to prosecute a case that's a year old unless there's some very dang good reason why it has to be prosecuted and some very, very good reason for why that was reported. We don't like it when it's reported 3 days later, 4 days later. It raises hell with the case from the consent angle. I mean, you want that report to come in right at the first opportunity. And so that, as a practical matter, whenever you get a report made, say, unless she's got some dang good reason why it wasn't reported, even a week or two after the accident.
That is where consent is material, you mean?
What?
Where consent is material.
Yeah, what's this thing that's required?
That's all it'll fit.
This is all it's in the match. I'd move we delete section, subsection 6.
I second the motion.
Hey, you're ready to cut this out.
I don't think
they're muttering the statute books.
I don't think you're ever going to get rid of all blackmail attempts, and I don't think it helps much. Just give them 3 months of blackmail and.
I mean, as far as that goes, if she's going to blackmail him, she just as well say, I will say that you had relations with me today after the 3 month period.
Yeah, and I can prove it. I proved it happened before, and if I'm laughing, yes.
The effect of the motion is that you restore a 3 month patent limitation from
3 years.
3 years, yeah.
Yeah.
I
go on side.
Well,
Frank, how would this hurt you?
Unless they make that complaint promptly.
Say it for a year.
The prosecutor's dead.
I think, yeah, unless there's some special circumstances.
Unless there's some special circumstances.
Unless you've got some very, I mean, as a practical matter, there just isn't, like you say, the once even a week has passed or 2 weeks has passed and no complaint has been made there, unless there is some very good reason why the complaint made, no prosecution is going to be brought. What this does is artificially prevent you from bringing a charge where there is some compelling reason why it should be brought.
And the only reason I could conceive that you would try a case like that where it wasn't reported is where you were investigating something else and found these earlier rape attempts on someone that didn't report it because of their fear of publicity, etc.
Yeah.
And you ferreted out yourself.
So we'll blend morals.
Or the child abuse situation.
Well, of course, yeah, that would be.
If we find one, the fact that the best one to bring on is one that occurred 4 months ago or so. That big girl, I mean, brought out that probably a heck of a lot more rapes take place than there before.
I haven't read this as to how this fits into the rape on somebody's child, but you'll commonly have the stepfather having relations with the child and the mother pretty darn well know about it. And you don't find out about those usually. It's been going on for 2 years, so oftentimes you'll come after 3 months on something like that. And I don't know whether that would prohibit a prosecution on that, but I would really oppose it if it would prohibit your prosecution on that type of thing.
Well, the purpose of this thing, one, is to prevent the possibility of blackmail. Another one be to permit, to eliminate the possibility of someone becoming psycho and then saying, here's what I'm going to do. Does anybody know how much of that goes on? Blackmail, of course,
well, the inherent
thing
blackmail
know
situation
about.
Is the statutory rape thing. This doesn't give you any defense against that.
Well, you got your forceful rape.
Yeah.
Comes in. I've got a case going right now, but you can raise that as a defense, too.
So if we did delete this, would we be hurt very much?
Don't you accomplish that purpose by the coercion statute? Doesn't that punish the threat of prosecution or return for something?
Yeah.
Well, then the answer to the question, when a girl comes in 4 months later, she's had relations with this fellow. Now she's mad at him. He's thrown her over. So now she complains that she was raped without consent. But if that's the case, then why do we put the 3 months in?
I don't
know
what
they
make of it. It bars cases where there is an exceptional reason, like a child abuse case.
Only if they're over 16.
No,
you'd have your parents know about it.
If they're like, I mean, a stepfather raising his daughter, he's a parent. He knows about this. So as soon as it goes by 3 months, he's home free. I mean, he's got to worry for 3 months if the girl doesn't report it to the mother.
Or more typically, the mother knows about it, and she...
But I can't buy the argument that we'll wait on a prosecutor, and the answer is, well, sir, notwithstanding that you're a prominent businessman in town, we're going to go ahead and file this. I realize other counties you can rely. Depends every 6 months who's going to the grand jury, and then if it's wrong, you can sue her or you can charge her with coercion and have another trial before the public on this charge. I don't buy that at all. I think that if prosecution wouldn't do it on a state appointment, I think we ought to
your reason for doing this is for blackmail, right? And I cannot for the life of me feel how this does anything for blackmail whatsoever. It will not have the slightest thing in preventing blackmail. Because just like the defendant in Miranda, if a policeman is going to go into court and lie about beating a confession out of somebody, he'll go into court and lie about advising him of his rights. It doesn't make any difference if the girl is going to blackmail the guy. If when the 3 months pass, she can just turn right around and say, okay, I'm going to say that we had relations Saturday. And the next year, I mean, the threat of blackmail can continue on and on and on forever, and this won't have anything to do with it.
We're also assuming that the blackmailer and the blackmailee are aware of this sort of odd provision of the law. The girl gets pregnant when she's 17 years old, and her parents say, by God, look, boy, you'll marry him, or we're going to be dead. That occurs, I think, very often.
The question is the boy going to respond to Section 6 provides that he can get out of his family lawyer? He goes out to see his family lawyer, and his family lawyer says, well, we can defend the case. She hasn't complained. Six months has passed, and they haven't filed a complaint.
But he isn't going to feel too damn secure by saying that.
Shouldn't that be right?
Well, but you got to remember that the defendant really still has such a good defense on consent in a situation like that.
You're talking about the defenses in an area where the filing of the charge is the end. How are you going to solve
the girl is for the same reason the girl is going to file the charge.
Yeah, you turn around, you tell her.
Most of these blackmail situations, I think the blackmail situation that occurred that's really got potential danger is in the statutory rape. I can't remember that.
I don't think so. Blackmail is not for money, I don't think. I mean, blackmail is not you'll marry me, or you to go out with me, or for seeing so and so, or you'll get me some dope, or you're talking about an emotional area, not one. Blackmail is going to be on a monetary basis.
The point is, you push the girl to it, and she won't bring into court.
Well, it's the girl under 16 that disappoints her.
No,
No. It's a little over 16.
Well, it really applies.
This applies to girl 16 or over who is not otherwise incompetent.
Right.
That's what is directed at.
Well, so this statute will make for problems in other areas. You have a woman who comes in and says, I was raped last week, and you tell them that, well, from the situation here and your lack of complaint, they're just the situation is going to be that the jury isn't going to think they're going to find consent. We just don't feel this merits any prosecution. So then they point to this statute and say, well, if it's made within 3 months, I'm okay. There's no consent, and so.
Well, they're saying now made within 3 years. I think it's the same argument.
But there are some exceptional cases that don't consent. I mean, you talk about consent, and now they're going to say, well, as long as it's made within 3 months.
Well, that would destroy your discretion, though, Frank, because it says 3 months is the cutoff. If it was less than that, you probably wasn't very good case. You wouldn't be forced to prosecute.
No, you're not forced to, but it gets.
Discretion kind of runs up against the blank wall when an irate parent comes in with a 17-year-old and they've just discovered that their 17-year-old, when she was 17, was had intercourse with a dangerous kid. And they're screaming and shouting and saying, by God, I want this crime prosecuted. If you don't, you know the story.
All right, the prosecutor tells the parent, surely consent here.
Says, by God, it's against the law. You're right.
But Dave, you're looking at the wrong side. The prosecutor tells the complaining parents, and look, you have not brought in a complaint for 6 months, or you didn't bring in a complaint 6 months ago, you waited 6 months. And I'm going to have to to prosecute this case if you want to pursue your complaint. But I'll tell you what's going to happen before that jury. You're going to lose the case, and they're going to claim that she's consented.
Wouldn't it be much better if the district attorney were able to point to this law and say the complaint wasn't made within 3 months or 4 months?
There are some legitimate cases where this thing could have been 3 months ago, a week ago.
It can't be brought, but what it's going to do is going to cut out the legitimate ones where there should be a prosecution brought.
It would be easier for the DA really to have something like that to work out and take the responsibility off your shoulders. But on the other hand, even if you have it, it's these other cases that you should prosecute, you'd be prohibited from it. I think Dave's right that probably more, I don't want to say poor cases, but weaker cases are tried in a lot of these sexual areas than a lot of others. You can wash some of these others out that are weak cases. But it's harder when you have an irate parent or irate person coming in on a sexual offense to tell them, no, I won't prosecute in many other areas. So you're liable to take one of these, especially if, let's say, 17-year-old girls involved and parents are in with her. You'll probably prosecute those cases quicker than you will some other type of property offense.
We're also looking at the fact that for the 17-year-old, it's still a juvenile court jurisdiction. I think the social problem is more than the one anyway. There is a problem in the home with a stepfather or a thing, and a stepdaughter, people close to the board, it's very criminal. Any solutions when you're not in a criminal prosecution? It's jail case.
What were you about to say, Jake?
I was going to say, we also passed on beyond Jake Lorenz's objections that it makes some pretty hideous problems in terms of how it's actually arranged and applied. Whether it's a matter of proof, whether somebody's got a burden,
pre-trial,
motion in bar.
So you're going to make it a statute of limitations.
This may be very difficult. You open all this up to proof in front of the jury and show the reasons why. Also, at what point in the trial?
What
do you do with proof of innocence?
What do you do when you're in
prison? The DA said lack consent.
The DA, a witness, says when he finds out,
but yeah,
the lead counsel is able to go up there and say,
No, I think it's very, very, I think it's operated as to good reason, it's way to both sides.
Well, you probably have to, I don't know if you'd have to allege it, but you'd have to prove one thing, but the prosecution may be instituted or maintained, you see, it's not a defense.
You have to allege it.
It's an element of the crime, which the court would have to instruct the jury that they would have to find as one of the elements of the crime that the complaint was made within 3 months.
That must be difficult. Because you allege when the act occurred, don't you?
And actually, as a practical matter, I mean, you know, when you're, because in a forceful rape case, you're defending against the argument of consent, in your proof, you go right into the, when the complaint was made, and when you've got the girl testifying. That does make it an element. Maybe from the prosecution standpoint, it would make a complaint made within a week look better if the court instructed that an element of the crime was a complaint made in 3 months. And or you look, this wasn't so long. Within 3 months, so she had 2 months and 3 weeks to go yet before she had it.
On the reservoir, you say she had 2 years.
No, you don't. You have to explain how come she didn't make that report.
Well, why would we drop it from three years to 3 months? And in fact, the argument then helps it. In other words,
well,
you don't argue now that she had 3 years to make the argument.
Well, the 3 years is the institution of the action in court, not the complaint. There's a distinction between the two.
You think the jury would make a distinction?
Long a period of time. I have confidence in the jury counsel making the distinction.
Unless they had some good reason for not having complained.
Since the purposes of the statute are served by the proof as it comes out in trial, the evaluation of the case in the first place, that's whether it's prosecuted. The coercion statute, which punishes the conduct we fear, I don't see why you want to buy troubles. And put in a statute very unclear in this fellow's application and bars in the exceptional case which should be brought.
Someone call for the question. The motion is to delete this section that refers to the prompt complaint.
Subsection
6.
It's now 5.
Call the roll.
Judge Burns?
Aye.
Carson?
No.
Chandler?
No.
Rob?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Nye?
Aye.
Spaulding?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
How many of us are there here?
Four ayes and three noes.
Aye. And I'm wrong.
Only partially wrong.
We can always take another
bite within 3 months.
You got 3 years.
No, when we get the statute of limitations. Now, some states do have separate statute of limitations on that.
So before we go ahead, Mr. Chairman, can I raise one or two nitpicking suggestions?
Pick your nits.
No. Subsection 1, lack of consent.
What page?
This is page 4. Section 2, subsection 1, lack of consent. It says a person is deemed incapable of consenting and so forth. I hope that the commentary or something else appropriately reflects the fact that deemed apparently in this context is conclusive and not a disputable presumption. Now,
why don't we delete deemed?
Well, the commentary suggests that is the meaning, but because there are cases and because deemed has been a problem in the past, it seems to me that at least we ought to have the commentary say that this is a conclusive presumption.
I just think we have it.
The the same thing occurred to me, and I think it's unnecessary. You want to make a motion to delete the word deemed?
Yeah, also move.
Judge Burns moves. Second? Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion is carried.
We'll just read a first case.
Yes.
And then on the following page, spouse relationships, subsection 4, as I understand the middle sentence there, the one that we previously amended, this exclusion is inoperative as respects spouses living apart under an order or decree of judicial separation. Is the word under actually the word that you want to achieve there? In other words, in other words, do you mean living apart because of, or living apart where there exists, or I can think of a number of different types of situations in which it might be unclear. In other words,
we're saying because of the decree. In other words, we're saying that an informal separation, you're still considered a spouse for purposes of these provisions.
In accordance with the terms of an order or decree.
Well, or do you simply mean where spouses are living apart after? Is that what you intend to mean? I don't care what you
mean. Well, what we mean is that there has been a decree entered by the court.
And it is sometime later, and they are living apart.
They are legally separated.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure you... And then I
had... That's a judicial admitted order. That's under judicial order and decree of separation.
Well, we have judicial separation. You just make a judicial order or decree.
An order of judicial separation kind of leaves me
judicious.
Are we also finish off some of this picking? Are we requiring that the order specify that there's only non-access as a whole way?
Why don't we so?
Because the average order doesn't separate them as such. It simply says that one pays support and one has custody.
Recognizing that they are, recognizing the fact that they are.
Recognizing the condition of divorce in order of separation.
The thought came to me, Mr. Chairman, the court seldom interferes, as in my experience has been, when the parties under a reconciliation, although there's still an existing order of separation, the parties have reconciled. Then conceivably we could have a spouse commit a crime during this period of extrajudicial reconciliation.
Well, I was thinking about that, but it says living apart. Once they go back together again, then
Well, of course, at the time he commits a crime, they cannot be living apart because they're.
You can't commit that kind of a crime.
This is one crime you can't do by mail. M-A-I-L.
I think maybe it's solve that if you just do what Jim suggested instead of having the word hungry after.
Yeah, but.
What do you do in the classic?
Then you got to use one if they're living apart.
How many times I've advised a husband, why don't you go over and give your wife a call and take her out and buy her a nice dinner and sit down and talk about this. And
what's that inevitably lead to?
Right. That's what you're hoping.
Indigestion.
No, the
indigestion. Possible.
And then after the thing's over, the next morning she calls up and says, I'm going to complain.
She calls her lawyer and says, okay, but we got
Instead of a divorce case, we've got a criminal case.
I think that pursuant is better than under anyway.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, we're changing the present law that says that you can't rape your wife. And presently, my understanding is the exclusion doesn't apply to anything to do with whether or not there's an order of separation on the body.
Still has to be forcible.
Yeah, we're changing it to the extent.
They're separated, no matter how much they hate each other.
Where they may not be divorced. That may be if they're judicially separated, legally separated, it could be done.
Well, I think pursuant.
No, not under present law.
I think pursuing it more, I think your intention.
40% of the people are separated at one time or another, and that one, when the bread of law was written, almost nobody would ever say.
They would, of course, decide.
Whether they stopped it or not.
Well, yeah, but Chairman, isn't it true, though, in my experience has been that the legal separation is, well, I'm bad experience in this area, but one of the problems is the judicial separation is a rare bird. Decree separation. All things considered, the decree were henceforth. The more common one in almost everyone is the restraining order or the order pending pendente litis. My concern is, I think we're just throwing on, and I was on the subcommittee, and it went right past me the first time, really putting it in the head of the reconciliation aspect, because frequently there is an order having the husband move from the home. And there's an order that they live apart. He dare not do as Dave's client may do, attempt to reconcile by affection, by whatever terms.
We're still talking about forcible. He can't force her to have intercourse, is what it's saying.
Well, he could abuse her.
They can have a relationship that we now permit between spouses.
He makes that a nice meal.
And he isn't entitled to the spouse exclusion.
Why don't we delete that whole sentence and leave it up to the courts to decide who's a spouse and who isn't?
Eliminate the article on sexual offenses.
I do think, though, it should be pursuant to an order or decree of judicial separation.
I also move. Second.
Is there any objection?
Let's talk about the
after my brief.
If you get a man and wife and step, so. He comes over, as I say, and they do engage in sexual intercourse, and he claims it's with consent, and she don't know it was rape.
You're dealing with people who got problems between each other anyway. Got an inherent situation where the wife's going to come in and complain, and they have a big blow up the next day.
But when it's reached.
But we can't solve all the problems for the district attorneys.
In fact, there are many instances of creating.
Every case is going to be on the own merits.
I still got the basic relationship.
Yeah, all we're trying to do here is say that a woman who is living apart from her husband and there's been an order or a decree is entitled to the same protection as the other woman. She can't be forcibly raped.
Mr. Chairman,
I would move to delete order or.
Do you wish to amend the motion which has been made?
I think there was a reason for having just decree rather than order.
I think you're just referring to the judicial decree. Separation as
either
a
complete
decree
of separation of divorce or a complete decree of divorce.
Yeah, after the trial.
Right. This reconciliation is still a sanction. The court can impose a contempt.
Decree of separation is a separate statutory rule.
Separation.
Yeah. But not a divorce.
And they apply it. You've got
to. Well, married decree.
Isn't a decree of separation a separate from a decree of divorce?
But
it's a totally separate step
to
turn around.
Yeah, it's different.
And that's all this thing is supposed to apply to.
It's only
to
the decree. I think it works.
That's a decree of separation today, I mean, that cuts off all the rights of the husband. So that even now, today, I mean, in that situation, there can be. So this would not.
What about inheritance following the decree of separate maintenance?
That's
still
my question. Inheritance, did you say?
Yeah.
Our problem?
No, it isn't, but he says that the decree of judicial separation severs all the relationship between them, and I don't think it does.
Well, I mean, the right to the husband to...
conjugal rights.
Conjugal rights.
Conjugal
rights. Well, the motion is to amend the original motion so that this will read, pursuant to a decree of judicial separation.
I think you want to specify to a decree of divorce or separation, bed and board. That's Oregon statutory.
Might be a lot better. Well, you don't need it. You don't need it. The degree of divorce.
Because they're not longer man and wife.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we have the cooling off period, but I think we're going to get in trouble with trying to do this.
Well, he's eliminating most of the trouble by this motion. Confining this to the
I think Don's motion is, or Don's suggestion is, we ought to refer to the statutory
maintenance. Well,
yes.
Maintenance.
Well,
the statute says separation from bed and board.
Yeah, decree of separation from bed and board.
That's what it
says.
But you're right, if they're divorced, they're no longer spouses. So. I think what Jean said was what she meant to say, judicial separation.
I think it's correct.
That's about right, except that it could probably have been any clearer if we used Oregon statutory language to a decree of separation from bed and board.
How about a decree of separate maintenance?
That's what it is.
Same thing.
Is it the same
thing? But that's statutory.
Now, the statute calls it separation from bed and board, but it's
always been figured out right here.
I'll wink
on that.
I like a reference
to bed and section.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I hate that.
I know what it says,
Lonnie. Yeah, it's the suit for separation from bed and board.
It's the
head of
the book. Okay. Hey, see this one, Harry.
My board's not abroad.
I've been excited on all day.
Okay. Question.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those no, motion is carried. Now, Frost, you made the original motion, include the order, and now you've taken it out. What else do you want?
Consistency is the hot dog of the line.
Chairman, I have
another
And this is back on page 2. You can see I'm making progress. I don't understand subsection 5, which
I thought maybe it was 1, James.
mentally incapacitated means that a person is rendered temporarily incapable owing to the influence of a narcotic or intoxicating substance. And so forth, administered without his consent, and then it says, or to any other act committed upon him without his consent. And I don't understand what those last words refer to.
Or owing to any other act committed.
Well, in other words, if they're hypnotized or something like that.
Well, and then it would read, is rendered temporarily incapable of appraising or controlling his conduct, owing to any other act committed upon him without his consent.
That only word
isn't there. Yeah, need to there somewhere in that last.
Well, what kind of a situation would be covered by that latter language?
Hypnosis.
Well, that's what
is hypnosis. Or to any other act committed upon him without his consent, that renders him temporarily incapable of appraising or controlling. That's what it in effect means. No, it isn't. There is an ambiguity here.
What do you do with an aphrodisiac?
With what?
Aphrodisiac. I'll tell you.
I don't know.
Yeah, or is there
and if so, where
I just strike the word to in that second clause.
Oh, I wouldn't like
to say owing the other
no, owing to any other act. Owing to.
Do we mean because of?
Yes. Yes, I think I don't like that.
I was.
But
we strike two, what is the cause of? Got going.
Because of the influence of not having, and then strike the two, right? The last one, or any other act.
Well, I think you still need to be cause of in the second place, in both places.
Well,
make it more clear, or owing to in both cases, if you're satisfied.
Where would you put that?
Because of, after the word conduct, and before the word any in the last one.
Why do you limit it to just temporary passage?
Well, because hypnosis, narcotics, and alcohol are...
I know they, all those things are temporary, but if somebody was able to permanently change a guy's mental capacity by overdose of narcotics or something, why shouldn't he be just as guilty?
Going after the doctors.
Well, you've got a separate, you've got mentally defective, and you've also got physically helpless.
Well, how about your creature that spellbound and binds these women?
What was that?
Every Sunday.
I mean, when you prosecute over Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have?
That
controlling his conduct at the time of the act.
Well, yeah, and you got to remember that this is designed to take care of the people who would otherwise be capable of consenting. And if they're, that these are the over 16 type people. And that,
well, my only thought was that this word temporary.
Grant, why don't you say instead of temporarily, why don't you say incapable of comprising and controlling his conduct at the time of the act?
That wouldn't hurt.
I mean, that's what you get.
What's that again?
The time of the offense. Incapable. You strike the word temporarily, and you say incapable of apprising or controlling his conduct at the time of the offense.
Mm. Period.
No. Then because of.
Oh, all right.
The time of the offense.
Chairman,
just to see if I can't help you get things moving, I'll make a motion. On the second line, subsection 5, after the word conduct, strike the word owing to. Insert therein the words at the time of the offense because of. And then in the fourth line.
Same line, strike the word temporary.
If it yes. And then the fourth line, insert the word, delete the word to after the word or, and insert the word because of.
How's it read?
It would read, mentally incapacitated means that a person is rendered incapable of appraising and controlling his conduct at the time of the offense because of the influence of a narcotic or intoxicating substance to him without his consent, or because of any other act committed upon him without his consent.
Why shouldn't that read, because of the influence of narcotic or intoxicating liquor or other no, you couldn't.
No. Well, we don't want liquor as a substance.
Well, I disagree. I know, I think that's probably all right. You've all heard the motion. Jim, does that improve it?
Well, it certainly, I think it clears it up as far as the matter of reading and makes the latter language mean something.
All right, all those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. No, motion's carried.
We've got a problem with our separation
from
better board.
If you want to include order, you just have to just sway it.
I looked at this practice great book, and the way I find it a strange thing. And it says, talking about the decree of divorce, the decree shall revoke any will, and so on and so forth. The decree shall not be effective insofar as it affects the marital status of the parties until the expiration of 60 days from the date of the decree. So we're talking strictly about separation.
69 days, I bet we're on the teaser.
But I think if we try to get on that 60-day period, we end up in a problem. It's a cooling off period.
No, that's not the cooling off period. That's the appeal period. That's the Gracie Check Bill 65.
That's the one we show the people.
Oh, well.
Well, if we refer to the decree, and the decree has a certain legal effect by statute, then that's going to control, I think, regardless of what we say here.
That's why I want you to read that again.
The decree is effective for 6 days after it's handed out, you can say.
As far as the marriage says.
Yeah, they can't, to keep them remarrying.
Also to allow them to jointly revoke the decree. You still got the living apart as part of that section.
What's that ORS citation, Dave?
107.
Yeah, 107.
Support your local resident.
They may have it.
Come on, Frost. What's all the problem?
Just forget about it. That's the best thing to do.
Well, there is a problem there, though.
Well, we say the decree of separation from bed and board is the ending point.
We assume that it's not even agreed again, we.
Yeah. It says the decree shall do various things. It goes on and says the decree shall not be effective insofar as it affects the marital status of the parties until the expiration of 60 days from the date of the decree.
But it's still a decree.
Yeah. The decree of governance.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if it's not effective, the marital status. Well,
Mr. Chairman, we're never going to be able to resolve this because this is one of the weirdest things in law. And you have a final decree. It's Oregon's attempt to have an interlocutory decree. We've never fully faced the problem. And we divorced them when you get the decree, which is, say, the same statute, but I think we've meant invents marital status, marital relationship, invents two new terms unknown to law. Talks about making the state and a party to the an appeal, which is never known in Oregon law, and these sort of things. We tried to amend them, and I would think we'd be really wasting our time if we tried to match what we're doing to this.
Because it would be terrible day to day.
Yeah.
Part of what that is in order to prevent the remarriage and other marriages.
Well, I think it's to provide cover during the appeal period. That's the 60 days.
This applies to marriage and separation as well as divorce?
This divorce.
This is only divorce.
Well, this sentence here only applies to separation from bed and board, doesn't it?
That was the point. I thought we'd assume that the degree of divorce ended everything.
Yeah.
So all we're concerned about is the continued marital status and the degree of separation.
But they're worried about now. They're worried about the 60 days free rate.
I think I'll have to let the wife look
that for herself. You put up with her 5 years on the 60
days. Yeah.
Sorry, how they reverse it. They're all worried about the poor, in the sense the man getting raped. Now they're worried about the wife getting raped.
Right, kind of like prosecutors. We're worried about them all.
We're worried about all the people.
Right. Apparently, you said you had a vacancy on the commission. I suggest that we nominate Mrs. Peck for that vacancy.
It has to be a senator. All right, it's about 12 o'clock. It doesn't look like we're going to move too rapidly.
Since we're going backwards.
Any more suggestions, Burns?
Yeah, I was going to get into section zero.
Nitz will be with us. Is there any objection to reconvening at 1 o'clock?
No.
Let's reconvene at 1 then, and perhaps we
can. 1 o'clock.
We've made no arrangements for lunch.
Thanks.
I think I'm going down here to the Top Hat on State Street.
Up here, east.
East, yeah.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
The law in most jurisdictions, I think. Feeling of order that we should not monkey the man. Okay, beginning now on page 22 of your draft, we get into the subsidy of offenses with rape and the third and second first degree. Presently, as you know, Oregon just had one degree of crime, rape.
there are enhanced penalty provisions that involves the daughter or stepdaughter in that type of situation. Otherwise, the maximum punishment is 20 years of prison. There are any distinctions made, certainly not with respect to age and things of that nature. So we, in this draft, changing that. Now, Oregon at the present time, I believe, is in the minority of states and only having one degree of offense, one category of rape. A number of states have two classes in which they distinguish between intercourse with female victims under a certain minimum of age and also forcible rape. The majority of states, as you pointed out in your commentary, have adopted a triple classification scheme covering certain age groups, deception, threats, incapacitation, whatnot. And this draft, of course, follows that. The offense itself is not changed, except that it does attempt to more equitably distinguish between the more serious kinds of rape and the lesser. Now, put on the board there, this classification of offenses in which the victim's age is extremely pertinent, as well as the defendant's age. Now, our lowest degree of crime, and these apply to both rape and sodomy, you have the victim's age under 16. And the defendant, in those cases, must be at least 4 years older to commit that crime. With respect to second degree rape or sodomy, there you have a younger victim and a defendant who's over 18. First degree, you have the youngest classification of victim, any victim under 12 years old, and in those instances, the age of the defendant is immaterial. Now, with respect to section 3 on page 22, rape in the third degree, the first draft of this had an alternate provision, as you can see, that which we try to, well, at least bring it to the attention of the subcommittee, although no one has been very enthusiastic about that subsection, from this exception, and that is to try to take care of a situation where there is an impersonation of a husband. these things happen, but we didn't seem to think that there was that much of a problem that we needed to set it out separately. A male who has sexual intercourse with a female, not his wife, commits a crime of rape in the third degree if the female is less than 16 years of age and the male is at least 4 years older than the female.
One other question on this. Seems that we've got these in reverse order and other cases have been put on.
32nd, 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 32nd.
No, we've always had the ascending degree.
Have we?
I like for it. Yeah, we started with the lowest and worked out. The age difference here in your third degree situation, it's felt is substantial enough that should be classified as rape. It should be noted that if the male is 4 years older than the female, and the female is less than 14 years of age, it is rape in the second. And then if she's less than 12 years of age, then you drop into the first group.
I don't understand subsection 2.
What
What difference would make, I mean, it should be a different crime between a 16-year-old and a 14.
Well, it's more serious than younger.
Well, why don't we have another 83 and make it 15 and 14-year-olds?
What is the offense if it's a 15-year-old girl, 17-year-old boy? 2 years difference.
It is, of course, third degree.
There's no crime, there's no crime.
Yeah, if there's no force, there isn't any crime of rape.
Is there any other type of crime?
Have you taken out contributing? I mean, that's not...
Well, contributing, we're both minors.
It would be contributing now, but it would be handled essentially juvenile court, except in case of remand.
It wouldn't be contributing now, would it, if the defendant's 17?
No. It could be prosecuted, couldn't he?
It hasn't been decided by Oregon Supreme Court. They've raised some implication on it. We've taken some freedom on
17-year-olds.
17-year-olds, yeah. Reducing from rape.
I don't put much reliance on that contributing statute. Wally and I had a conversation with a person somewhat knowledgeable about the court's activities. And what did Ted say?
I got about three cases in the city.
Yeah.
Frank, what is the situation today?
They'll either be declared a part or wholly unconstitutional.
17-year-old boy, 15-year-old girl, consent.
You've got statutory rape.
Oh yeah, you do today.
Today, yeah, you do today. I mean, it's the age of the girl.
Yeah.
If you have rape in the second degree and you got a girl being less than 14 years of age, then under this defense, it would be offense of rape in second degree to prove that because she was 15 or 16.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. Well, then you're getting back to part of the basic assumption made at start, is that force people are well certain they're made by the crime. Socially, if you want to know.
Yeah, that's what that's the problem.
Conceding the facts of life.
How do you reach the 4 year?
That's about it. This is, of course,
your advocate saying it sounded better than 3 or 5.
Grab one, quick.
Yeah.
What's your bag? Are you hot for 3 or 5? Is your daughter 4? This is the point I was alluding to earlier. If you think you have a problem, what are you trying to
believe 1?
Well, used to 3 seem to stick in your
bag
last time.
It's just
21 years and 9 months.
Well, this comes basically from the model penal code in the New York.
4 years ago?
Yeah. And they felt that 4 years was enough from the spread that you get out of the situation where it's just a juvenile, two juveniles involved in relatively harmless activity. And but there's enough of an age spread there that you should have some protection for the girl. But looking at it from the defendant's standpoint, that if you don't have force involved, and she's at that age where she's beyond, see, and I'm talking about second degree, she's beyond the age where there's danger of permanent injury to her, and either physically or psychologically. And now, dropping down into your first degree, see, we've raised this. The model penal code, I think, has 11.
So the mission.
Yeah. So,
but
why the difference between 16 and 14? I don't understand why. It seems to me we ought to have. I agree with Section 3. I cannot see that you make a greater degree of crime.
Or 14 or 15.
Well, it is. It's more serious. keep
a associate board, I think.
Between grade school and high school.
Yeah.
Sure, you've got a 14-year-old girl, gee, you've got
13.
Just coming out of the 8th grade or going into first year of high school, 9th grade, and you've got a defendant over 18, he's finished high school.
Yeah, and you're probably gonna do more damage.
That's right.
To a 14-year-old child than a 15-year-old.
14 is the same.
Problem of proof, too. Under the present statute, you neither have to allege nor prove that the person, the defendant, is of, say, over 16 for statutory rape. Now, I wonder if you might not have to prove that he's 4 years over under the wording of the statute. Sometimes it'd be pretty difficult, if you don't know where the guy's born, to actually prove it, whereas it's pretty easy for him to prove it as a matter of
fact. Yeah, you can't take his deposition in a criminal case.
What's the basis of the distinction of the defense in subsection 2? Why do we make it 18 rather than just a 4-year spread? It could be a 5-year spread here. It could be almost 6.
You mean the way it's written here? It could be 6.
Yeah, it could be 12 years one day, and it could be 18. It seems to me. Some question in my mind why we should have a different standard applied.
You don't have a different standard in case of limits.
No.
So
in section 3, it wasn't limited.
It's 5 years.
Whereas in 2, if he's under 18, he's got 3.
Like a 17-year-old could be remanded on third degree, but he can never be remanded on second.
Well, a guy 18 could have intercourse with a girl 15. He's 20, he's up
a year. Particularly when you get into this, if we have this mistake as to age thing, you've got this 4-year deal, so the guy's, not only do you have a cutoff date of 16, well, I thought she was at least 15, which is okay.
I'm only 19.
Yeah, you're 10, 19. Or I'm 18. My gosh, I thought she was 14.
She told me she was 14.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can I see her OLCC card?
you get the. I mean, when you've got one cutoff point, you're just 16. Then you've got kind of a different thing as far as mistake is to age. But when you've got a mistake in identity, not only was she 16, but is she 15 or is she 15? And well, gosh, I didn't realize her birthday was January the 3rd. I thought for sure she probably, her birthday was in June, you see.
I thought she was over 16, but sure as hell she was over 14. Yeah.
Don't you have an
obligation?
Don't you have an obligation, too, to make it simple enough so the ordinary person can know what is and isn't a crime?
Yep. Strong. Well, sure. Of course, this was one of the basic objectives of the
model. But isn't there a complete
See an argument for this. I pointed out about I've seen an argument before. Second degree, it's a higher degree of culpability, and you don't apply that to a person under 18, I suppose it's the theory.
I think Lee probably has a good point, though, that take your instance of a 12-year-old girl and a 17-year-old boy. Under this present language, then would be rape in the third degree.
Now, what was the age again?
12 and 17.
12 and 17.
And 12 years, one day.
Less than 12, 11 and 17. 12
and 17. No, 12 and 17.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be, it couldn't be second degree, no matter how young the victim was. And yet, the gravity of the crime, by reason of the age differential,
well, I think it's the acknowledgement of the fact that if you lessen the employee's age, you take into consideration too the gravity of the crime. In other words, as his age reduces, you put a point of 18, and then you won't crack him.
What you're saying?
11 and 15.
Yeah, but a 16-year-old child, 16 years and one day old, rapes or has intercourse with a girl 14 and 1 year. That should be rape in the third degree and not rape in the second degree.
It isn't any crime. It's no crime.
It's no crime. As long as they're within 4 years of age.
It's
well, all right. Pardon me, 2 days. He's 16 years and 2 days old.
And they can set it.
But it should be only rape in the third degree because he's only 16. It shouldn't be second degree.
I don't think we
can
figure this thing out.
Well, I know there'll be very long ago. There'll be some sharp pencils out there.
They can't.
But their mothers and fathers will when they see this revision. And I think that's going to be a real problem. You've created by age some non-crimes.
I made the motion.
Of course, you got the same thing right now with your statute the way it is now.
Sure, you
do. 16 and 15.
Yeah, but you got just her age to worry about. Right, we're in okay now. Let's see. Now you got to figure this out. When's your birthday? The mistake.
Well, he has to be over
16. Gosh, I sure thought she was a week older than she is.
And he has to be over 16.
He has to be over 16. She has to be
over
16.
I mean, under our present law.
I'm talking about
but you're not creating a non-crime.
I'm talking about the 19-year-old and the 15-year-old. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to figure out how a DA would know what to indict him for. Probably not being familiar with it.
Until you get him.
Get
in custody.
And when you're in custody,
tell him to get a lawyer. What
his statement to the Motor Vehicle Department, getting a driver's license, be
some evidence,
prima facie evidence that he was in fact 16 or 17.
In some courts, yes, but in other courts, no.
Well, let's get the state's favor out.
Well, I mean, this is the situation you have without the state right of appeal. You got Fenton County Law, you got.
Well, now you're talking about an age-old problem.
Yeah. Frank, I take it that you would like to leave the law as it is.
Well, I'm not so sure of that, but this is going to cause all kinds of, particularly with this reasonable mistake.
Mr. Chairman, I would move just to get it out in front. Subsection 2, Section 4 be amended by striking the words 18 years of age or more, inserting there, and at least 4 years older.
Which one are you talking about now?
Subsection 2 of Section 4.
Using the same language.
I don't see. Oh.
So I'm using the same language that we're using in Subsection 1 and Section 3. Well, then
you get into your 17-year-old defendant. And that's the reason the language is the way it was.
17, Section 3, make that 18 instead of 4 years older.
I just think it is. Well, because there you're talking about third degree, right? It's the same.
Well, why make the same as far as the age difference? You don't want a 17-year-old being able to commit rape?
Well, I'm not saying that a 17-year-old shouldn't be guilty of rape. It depends on the age of the victim.
If the girl is 4 years younger.
Yeah. I just think the law ought to be a little simpler than this is. Without having the same standard.
I don't know what the hell's wrong with the present law in this regard.
Both these sections are something that we said we weren't going to do at the start of this. Yeah, hate a crime or something that takes place between two consenting persons.
Yeah, but
limited to adults and they're started. Open a can of worms.
Well, there's a basis for my hands here, and I just don't think it's good policy that we invited 17-year-old kids to. Yeah.
Well, let's discuss that a little bit. What is wrong with the law as it presently is?
Yeah. Wally?
17-year-old, 15. 17-15, you have a certain situation. I just had a case we got through with where you had a 15-year-old promiscuous gal, went out with a guy 17 years old, and got caught coming home late, and so turned the finger on the 17-year-old, and there's no question that the aggressor, and probably the one that was more involved, was the 15-year-old girl. And actually, we had a juvenile hearing on both of them under these circumstances, but you'd have a situation where you might have the 17-year-old remanded to adult court tried on this felony.
Well, it's a prime recognition that kids under 16 are going to screw for an aggression.
An 8-year-old boy charged once with statute.
No, I don't agree with you.
A girl almost 16 crawled into his bed.
An 8-year-old boy?
18. Charged with statutory rape. I was embarrassed walking in court with it. We worked something out.
Is that the discretion of the prosecutor?
That case actually went through.
Right.
See, we told you.
Keep relying on the discretion of the prosecutor and see what happens.
Well, they'll get some help which they didn't have before. Where there's a reasonable mistake of age business is a substantial help, and I'm for that, but I don't know anything else wrong with it.
Well, it's the high school decking situation that goes too far. I don't know how reprehensible that is when you have a consenting 15-year-old, 9-month-old girl and a 16-year-old, 1-month boy.
Well,
I don't do that entirely either. I can't say there's a definite age at which it becomes good or bad, but there is a difference between obviously a 10-year-old and an 18-year-old.
Well, no, it's not. And if you just have one age, and you say this is arbitrary, the way the draft is, it is to a certain extent, it's arbitrary, but it is trying to recognize the differences that are going to exist in these cases and not just have one arbitrary age where if the defendant's over 16 and the girl's under 16, that's statutory rape.
Well, it isn't the reason for the statutory rape situation. It's based on the age of the girl, that she is deemed at the present time that until she reaches her 16th birthday, she is felt to not be mature enough to consent to sexual intercourse, whether she is going to consent to sexual intercourse with an 18-year-old boy, a 19-year-old boy, or a 30-year-old, or a 50-year-old. It's her age that the law feels that she's just not able to consent. But now, you're bringing into it also that she can consent to having intercourse once she reaches, she's 15. She cannot consent to having intercourse with a 20-year-old man, but she can consent as she's reached the age where she's capable of consenting to having intercourse with a 19-year-old. And so it's just, it doesn't make much sense to me.
Does the present situation make any sense to you, though?
Yeah.
Well, the variety bothers me. The 15-year-old girl can consent to sexual intercourse with a guy 18, 3 years older, but a 13-year-old girl,
degree from the second degree and less than 16 degrees from the third degree. You know, that rather than having this differential weight. And then you're still basing it upon her capacity to consent.
Do we make any distinction on the age of the male?
No.
Violence.
think there's some merit in the way it's drawn, or at least it's there.
With a consensual situation?
Well, I think it still has...
I don't think consent makes...
And the effect upon the victim, whether it's consensual or not, it has a difference.
We're still saying that you can't consent if you're less than 16, but as you drop down lower and lower, or if you've got a different spread between the victim and the defendant, it's a more serious crime.
Yes, you can consent if you're less than 16.
Provided the boy...
Provided the boy.
The boy's right.
Within 4 years of you, like a 15-year-old, can she have reached the place where she is capable, has the maturity, to consent to having sexual intercourse with a 19-year-old, but she has not reached the point where she is capable of consenting if he is 20. Or, I mean, if the way their birthday fall, it may both be...
You might have to wait a few days.
Well, of course, your birthdays affect your existing law.
Yeah, but rather than having, we pick the age okay right now in the present law that a girl isn't capable of consenting until she's 16, which, for all practical purposes, is an artificial barrier because some 15-year-olds are mature enough, are much more mature than 18-year-olds. So that's an artificial barrier. So that what we're doing now is we're not getting rid of one artificial barrier, we're adding another artificial barrier, the age of the boy.
I don't mind adding that. I think maybe my objection could be met. I just look at the chart. But if we keep the same difference between third degree and second degree, instead of having in one case at least 4 years older and the other one at least 18, that I'd keep the same. I'd vary the degree of the offense on the age of the girl, I think, and have the age of the boy. Remain a constant relationship to that age of the 4 years.
That's motion. That was my motion.
Yeah, the motion supports.
Well, you now have a second.
Getting there.
I'm finally persuaded.
I still think there's some merit in what Frank says. When a 13-year-old girl can give consent to have intercourse with a 17-year-old boy.
It's not time for consent. Let's think in terms of his gravity of his offense.
I think the social consequences of a girl having intercourse with a boy within 4 years and her mental health and everything are greatly different than if she were to have a 15-year-old girl with that intercourse with a guy who was 40.
Yeah.
The mental health and the social consequences are much different.
But what do you think about a 14-year-old girl? Do you think it should be an offense for a 14-year-old girl to have relations with a 17-year-old boy?
Probably not.
Well, that's what this does. That's what it's not.
And I think if you do make an offense, it ought to be an offense against both of them. Why should we single out the boy?
Actually, as far as a girl is concerned in that situation, she'd be turned over to the juvenile court anyway. Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to sit at 18 and let up the whole thing.
The language does change. The former rape statute is referred to the victim, and this is the girl who refers to the female.
I just simply make it a crime for...
I brought that up, but didn't get it.
People under 16 years old get engaged and engage in fornication. I don't see why it should be on one side of the other.
To repeal human conduct, does that affect your motion?
It seems to me that you handle, or you can handle, almost all situations of persons that are under 17 under your present juvenile statutes endangering the welfare of another. It's where the boy's 18 that you get involved in the problem of criminal conduct, which needs to be handled by adult criminal law.
I'm trying to agree with that.
Well, one thing I think concerns me is one of the reasons a number of people relied on is our present juvenile code, which is so terribly arbitrary at best. And I kind of I realize we must work with the other laws because we're not remodeling the juvenile code, but to try to hinge one philosophy on the rationale of the juvenile code that whether or not he would be convicted of it is curious reasoning, in my judgment. In other words, it's no comfort to me that he may not be remanded. That doesn't get me anywhere. It helped me. Apparently it does help some of you, that the fact of where he, whether he's remanded or not. In other words, two 14-year-olds commit the crime, but nothing can be done about it because it goes to juvenile. And that doesn't really, to me, answer it unless we repeal the juvenile code, because that's extremely arbitrary to begin with.
It seems to me isn't the point here that Don made is that for only conduct that we're regarding is socially abhorrent enough to prescribe a criminal conduct is conduct of older men having sexual intercourse with young girls. But, conduct the sexual intercourse from generation is not social. It's not sufficient grounds to make it. It may be socially abhorrent. It's not grounds enough to make it a crime.
Well, yeah. The adolescent sexual experimentation, or whatever you want to call it, is not rape. That's what we're attempting to say.
Some of it goes along. Experimentation.
Well, sexual intercourse is not rape.
Yeah. But here's the problem. That can be either the male or the female who's the instigator at that level. But if you make it a crime for both of them to do it, you won't have any prosecutions because it's a totally consensual operation then. I mean, both sides are guilty of the crime, nobody's going to squeal.
This may just be further complicated, I think, but it bothers me. As long as we're going to be arbitrary, admittedly these things are arbitrary, and I've mentioned this once before about something else. Why can't we at least be consistent? Certainly we have a juvenile code. Why can't we say the third degree if the female is less than 18 years of age and the male is at least 4 years older than the female?
Well,
because
22 years old to do it.
Well,
I mean,
because
if
you're
less
looking,
than 18.
Because, Don, and that you're looking at it the same way that the rest of us are looking at it, when we look at this 4-H and 4 years difference thing, is we're not looking at it the way the present law looks at it, from the age of the female capable of consent. And we're getting away from that entirely. So,
well, but
because,
Frank,
because the reason we're doing it, Frank, is because we're saying that what we're basically saying is that adolescents
do that kind of stuff.
Do that kind of stuff, and to make it a crime is it may be even socially abhorrent, but it's either unenforceable or it isn't that socially abhorrent that we're going to make a crime out of it. What we're saying is a crime is where an older man has a sexual relationship with a young girl.
Now, your question, Don, if you did that, then of course you'd be upping the age of consent then, the female.
What I'm really saying, though, is that if kids are under 18,
about her
but within 4 years
age
of each
consent,
other,
we're concerned about the difference between the age of
consent. Well, no, you still got to be concerned about both, right?
All I'm saying is everything up to 18, look at it as juveniles. Except you put the 4-year thing in there.
So if in other words, the 18 to
yeah.
13-year-old. Well, you'd be raising the age of consent compared to our present statutory rape statute.
Well, only consent with adults. I'm just recognizing what the juvenile code sets as an arbitrary 18-year figure.
Well, 18 and 4 are 22.
Yeah.
18 and 3 are 21.
Can I ask you this, Don? Is a third degree rape going to be down the misdemeanor category?
No, these don't be felonies. We're not talking about any misdemeanor rape. We don't.
Do you have a felony misdemeanor?
Will
it be a felony misdemeanor?
Well, I think that we may end up with sentencing provisions which would, in effect, allow the court to treat these as have a disgrace on the part of the court.
It seems to me that's a good out on your 17-year-old boy and your 15-year-old girl. The court has some discretion as to how to handle it.
It's an out, but he still stands convicted of a crime of rape.
Of course, in country.
Yeah, right.
I still think.
But when he comes back, he's out.
Create some kind of just by the nature of the time when this code is put before the legislature, and people begin to study and learn what's in it, so you want to create a group of things. Because this is going to be the, you know, we can look at all the embezzlement and all the theft by deception and all the arson and all these things and not care about it at all, but boy, this is the one everybody's going to zero in on. You've already got this one argument. You've already already eliminated you know, some necrophilia. Oh, that's pretty bad crime, and here we threw it out. And bestiality, and that's a pretty bad crime, and we threw it out. Well, down here in Polk County, it's pretty sharp. Then we create a pretty good sized group of people who probably know engage in this sort of thing on occasion, and we said, well, they're just kids. So not under any circumstances, these kids while we're there, we're going to be able to call any more than the third degree of third degree of rape, and in some cases we're not going to be able to call any crime at all. I think that
we have the
you talk about the liberality of the state, those are pretty darn conservative bunch of people that are going to make this sort of thing.
What we have,
why don't we make it a crime for anyone under 18 years old who engaged in sexual intercourse?
Under 18?
And then we are taking care of we'll care.
You better exclude your marriage person.
I think the best thing to do, probably under six, do what, leave it as it is. We have the mistake is the age deal. And frankly, I don't see very much wrong with the laws we have it, particularly when we have the mistaken age thing in here.
Mm-hmm. I think at the very least have the, maybe the degree of crime differentiated by age.
You can easily abandon the present fornication.
Well, yeah, that's written out by the draft anyhow. Yeah. Fornication is out, seduction is out.
When we talk
my present law, my point is that I would prefer to restore the fornication law to people that are under 16 years of age to go along with it.
14 and 16.
I think the fact that we call it rape, two adolescents engaged in sexual intercourse is pretty ridiculous.
Can I move to amend his normal step with him?
Yes, you can. What would you, for the moment, withdraw your motion?
Oh, I'll do anything.
Johnson withdraws his motion with the consent of his second, Chandler.
Frank. Chairman has just volunteered.
Okay, I would move to amend the section she said there.
You didn't want to get on the record.
Here they come.
They got word of our move.
Hurry up, Frank. Make that motion.
Oh, wait.
Wait.
Here.
Move to amend section 3, paragraph 1, by striking.
To be 14.
That hasn't gone through the book.
No, if you had less than 14, you wouldn't have the capacity to be minimum.
No, on that basis, I'll go there. Well, I.
Frank, don't you have to have that mail at least over 16?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the
way the present statute is.
163.210.
It says, Frank, it says, any person over the age of 16 who currently knows any female child under the age of 16.
Or any person who forcibly grabs.
Well, of course, that's
forced.
You can change this on the first, any male over the age of 16 who has, and then amended as you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in both places.
Yeah.
You know, I see great benefit in this spread. I have a 14-year-old daughter. Now, I'm going to get a lot more uptight if a 20-year-old guy tries to seduce her than if I am if some 17-year-old kid in high school seduces her. I just think the consequences are a lot.
No. Really, what you're worried about, Don, is that you feel that the 20-year-old is going to be more capable of seducing maybe than the
17-year-old. Well, I suppose that's a level of sophistication. But I think she's more capable of handling conduct within 4 years of her own age than she is somebody older.
Well, I think those are responsible. I'm really surprised that we can use the touchstone of this 15-year-old as if it only takes one to tango in this bit, and we arbitrarily cling to the old law that says, or cling to the arbitrary law that says that if she, it only depends on her, and you can't do it unless there's a, that the female has to go along with it. And I think the reason for this 4 years is what Don's pointing at, is that if they're 2 of 15, or close age proximity, they're equally guilty. And to punish the boy and let the girl go to juvenile court, as some have said here, where nothing happens to her, really, is just hypocrisy. And I think that either, I think the age difference, and if they're going to do it, put them both in jail. Put both the 12-year-olds in jail. Don't claim behind the juvenile code.
Well, this is what I was suggesting, is we keep the 4 years spread and have fornication.
Then you do away with the crime unless they're caught in the act.
Well, the problem is you're robbery. What would you say, really, if a girl's under, what I'm proposing, if a girl's under 18 years of age, you're saying, and she's more than 4 years younger than you are, she's a no-no. But if she is within 4 years, she can give consent.
And
over 14, that's right.